Welcome to our liturgy for Good Friday, a solemn liturgy of the Passion and Death of the Lord. Every day we live in the reality of the resurrection. But before the resurrection there was death, the death of an innocent man for the guilty. Today we pause to reflect on the necessity of Jesus' death. We'll take time to remember that Jesus died on that Friday because of man's sin, our sin. The profound reality of what makes this day good is nothing that's actually good. The betrayal, denial, and rejection of an innocent man. The suffering and shame of the cross. The broken body and spilled blood of Jesus Christ, that Jesus did not deserve what was done to him, and there was no way we deserved this act of love, mercy, and grace. From Romans 5, verses 6 to 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us join in a prayer. Almighty God, look with mercy on this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and to be given into the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for Good Friday is taken from Isaiah chapter 52:13 to 53:12. Isaiah. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up, and shall be very high. Just as there were many who were astonished at him, so marred was his appearance beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of mortals. So he shall startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard they shall contemplate. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich. Although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many and made intercessions for the transgressors. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for Good Friday is Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groanings? My God, I cry to you by day, but you do not answer, and by night also I take no rest. But you continue holy, you that are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and they were saved. They put their trust in you and were not confounded. But as for me, I am a worm and no man, the scorn of men and despised by the people. All those that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lips at me and wag their heads, saying, "He trusted in the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him deliver him if he delights in him." But you are he that took me out of the womb, that brought me to lie at peace on my mother's breast. On you have I been cast since my birth. You are my God, even from my mother's womb. O go not from me, for trouble is hard at hand, and there is none to help. Many oxen surround me. Fat bulls of Bashan close me in on every side. They gape wide their mouths at me, like lions that roar and rend. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart within my breast is like melting wax. My mouth is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue clings to my gums. My hands and my feet are withered, and you lay me in the dust of death. For many dogs are come about me, and a band of evildoers hem me in. I can count all my bones. They stand staring and gazing upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. O Lord, do not stand far off. You are my helper, hasten to my aid. Deliver my body from the sword, my life from the power of the dogs. O save me from the lion's mouth, and my afflicted soul from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my companions. In the midst of the congregation will I praise you. O praise the Lord, all you that fear him. Hold him in honour, O seed of Jacob, and let the seed of Israel stand in awe of him. For he has not despised or abhorred the poor man in his misery, nor did he hide his face from him, but heard him when he cried. From you springs my praise in the great congregation. I will pay my vows in the sight of all that fear you. The meek shall eat of the sacrifice and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him. May their hearts rejoice forever. Let all the ends of the earth remember and turn to the Lord. Let all the families of the nations worship before him. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he shall be ruler over the nations. How can those who sleep in the earth do him homage, or those that descend to the dust bow down before him? But he has saved my life for himself, and my posterity shall serve him. This shall be told of my Lord to a future generation, and his righteousness declared to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. A New Testament reading for Good Friday is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 to 25. Hebrews. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. He also adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading for Good Friday is from the Gospel of John, chapters 18 and 19. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John 18:1 to 19:42. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Who are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup the Father has given me?" So the soldiers, their officers, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. but Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered, "I've spoken openly to the world. I've always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I've said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again Peter denied it, and at that moment the cock crowed. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out and said to them again, "Look, I am bringing him out to you, to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die because he claims to be the Son of God." Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at the place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. Then they took his tunic. Now his tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill the scriptures say, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scriptures, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was a day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other man who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified, so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. None of his bones shall be broken. And again, another passage of scripture says, they will look on the one whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths, according to the burial customs of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This Good Friday is like no other for us. Yet it might also provide us with some insights as we work through our own struggles and disappointments of the moment. We're reminded that Jesus refused to save himself so that he could save us. In his moment of greatest agony, Jesus showed concern for his mother, ensured that she has someone to care for her, both at this moment and when he's gone. He knows what it's like to watch someone you love face loss, and he cares for us now. When we're in physical pain or under emotional stress, we often retreat into self-pity or lash out in resentment. But Jesus shows us a different way. Jesus continued to look out in compassion for others. May we be transformed as we look and remember Christ's death for us anew. Jesus' cry on the cross was, "It is finished." Yet for each of us, sometimes we're haunted by past mistakes that for us seem too much for God's mercy. But Jesus says it is finished. There's no debt too big for him to pay. Sometimes we mess up in a big way. And time again. And somehow we imagine that we need to withdraw from God for a while until our guilt somehow has worn off. But Jesus says it is finished. You can run to him in repentance immediately and enjoy his forgiveness instantly. Sometimes we get all mixed up in feelings of resentment or jealousy and we can't seem to move on. But Jesus still says, "It is finished." He sets you free from sin so you don't have to bring it with you every day. Other times we live as if we've got something to prove. If not to God, then at least to his people or even just to ourselves. But Jesus says, it is finished. You can stop striving because there's nothing left to earn and no other approval that matters. Jesus has saved us. And sometimes we struggle to forgive others. We keep remembering and stewing over the injustice committed against us, at least as we see it. But Jesus says, it is finished. Their penalty is paid in full, so you can entrust this to him. As we go through many different things in these last couple of weeks and in the weeks ahead, let us continue to be reminded of God's love for us and Jesus' words on the cross, it is finished. Let us entrust ourselves to him anew. Be transformed, and as we go through these difficult times, hold on to Jesus. Let him guide and lead us. Let him forgive us, and let him transform us so we can forgive others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We come to our time of confession. God shows great love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us confess our sins. O Christ, we are stripped bare by your suffering. You see our dreams, our demons, and the secrets we keep even from ourselves. Forgive all that needs to be forgiven. Heal all that needs to be healed. Awaken all the good that sleeps in us. Banish all the fears that paralyze us. Put the power of your cross into our lives forever and clothe us with hope and love. May the Father forgive us by the death of his Son and strengthen us to live in the power of the Spirit all our days. Amen. Let us join together in the solemn prayers for Good Friday. The response to Lord, in your mercy, is hear our prayer. God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. So let us bring the needs of the whole world to the foot of the cross of Christ. Let us pray for the Church of God throughout the world, for unity in faith, in witness, and in service, for bishops and other ministers and those whom they serve, for Matt, our bishop, and the people of this diocese, for all Christians in this place, for those to be baptized, for those who are mocked and persecuted for their faith, that God will confirm his church in faith, increase it in love, and preserve it in peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the nations of the world and their leaders, for the parliaments of this land, for those who administer the law, and all who serve in public office, for all who strive for justice and reconciliation, that by God's help, the world may live in peace and freedom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for God's ancient people, the Jews, the first to hear his word, for greater understanding between Christians and Jews, for the removal of our blindness and bitterness of heart, that God will grant us grace to be faithful to his covenant and to grow in the love of his name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for those who do not believe the gospel of Christ, for those who have not heard the message of salvation, for all who have lost faith, for those who are enemies of Christ and persecute those who follow him, for all who deny the faith of Christ crucified, that God will open their hearts to the truth and lead them to faith and obedience. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for all those who suffer, for those who are deprived and oppressed, for all who are sick, for those in darkness, in doubt, and in despair, in loneliness and in fear, for prisoners, captives, and refugees, for the victims of false accusations and violence, for all at the point of death and those who watch beside them, that God in his mercy will sustain them with the knowledge of his love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we commit ourselves to you and pray for the grace of a holy life, that with all who have died and who are alive in Christ, we may come to the fullness of eternal life and the joy of the resurrection in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to pray with me. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are confident to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, the story of your suffering is written on our hearts, and the salvation of the world is in your outstretched hands. Keep your victory always before our eyes, your praise on our lips, your peace in our lives. Amen. As we come to the close of our Good Friday reflection time, take a moment now for you to respond at your own pace. Perhaps begin with prayer and reflection about what Jesus did and that he did it for you. When you are ready, and there's no hurry, spend some time in prayer. You may like to light a candle in thanks and recognition of God's love for you. Stay for a while to pray or reflect. When you've finished your time, quietly leave. Turn off the tape. Remembering that an innocent man was killed for your guilt on a Friday 2,000 years ago. It's not the end of the story of how Jesus loved, but it is the end of our chapter today.